Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, who was the woman in blue? Was she a former headmaster of the school?
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
We like your ghost stories, so if you have one, send it in, call it in. You can call 855-853-4802, leave us a voicemail, or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And of course, you could become a premium subscriber if you wanted to. No commercials, advanced episodes, access to the archive. You can sign up through Apple Podcasts where you can try it for 3 days free. You could also sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or at ghostpodcast.com. I'm Carol Hughes. Kathy Gordon, how's it going with you today?
Well, it is going quite well, quite well.
Well, our first story today is from England, and I came across this article, and it says, this is the headline, "Strange Lights, Tropical Heat Waves, and a Smiling Dwarf. Is the British Museum Haunted by Ghosts?" So you and I have both been there. I would say, hell yeah.
Like, oh yeah.
Is that even a question?
Well,
when you think about what they've collected and put all under one roof, how could you not have brought something in?
Well, yes. And there's a lot of things that there's controversy about in the British Museum, where people think that, you know, it was gotten, you know, in some way that it shouldn't have been and taken to England, and people want it back, and, you know, deaccessing something out of a museum. And, you know, so there's kind of some, I think, weird vibes about artifacts there. Plus, also, I think one of the things that I found super interesting that I was not expecting was that when you walk through the British Museum, like, I was just kind of I'm looking at the map and I said, well, if we cut through the King's Library and go this way, we can go see the over here and blah, blah, blah. Well, cutting through the King's Library made it sound like we were just going to slip through. Oh, that was a joke, because once you get in there, they have all these great manuscripts that are out and under things. And so, you know, you're reading, you know, letters from, you know,
Dickens,
all these famous people, you know, or, and the, you go through history and then you finally end up like, here's Help written by, you know, the Beatles, just in their little scribble lines, or Satisfaction by Mick Jagger was writing it down, you know, or whatever. And so it's like, oh my gosh, like it took us forever to get out of the King's Library.
That truly was one of my favorite parts of that museum, was the library part, because it was so fascinating to see the lyrics to songs.
Yeah. And, or Charles Dickens' original, you know,
it was just fascinating
for something.
But then when you look at the museum, or any museum like that, where they bring in different artifacts from different cultures, even art museums, you know, I would just think you're bringing in these items that somebody was really attached to, more than likely at one time, maybe paid a lot of money for it. Or some of these are just ancient artifacts. So, like, how could every museum not be like a night at the museum?
Well, yeah. And then, you know, like, there's even, you know, families that have sued to get things back because the Nazis stole them from their family during World War II. And then they ended up in a museum somewhere. And the family was like, oh, wait a minute.
Yeah.
You know, that was ours. You have to, and they're getting them back. Slowly, people are starting to, you know, get things returned to their families. So there's a lot of things in museums that are, you know, that, like I said, that the artifact itself probably has some energy about it because of the controversy that surrounds it.
Well, and this guy's got this new book out. His name is Noah Angel. It looks like Angel with two L's. And his new book, Ghosts of the British Museum.
Ooh, sounds good.
Check that out. And from being there, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Totally.
Oh, definitely.
100% agree with that. Well, our first story today happens to be from England. And it says, I'm Claire. I'm from Liverpool, England. I have always been a believer. After seeing and hearing many stories, I always hear a woman saying my name, and it's so loud, I've answered it. Mm-hmm. Anyway, my story is when I was about 8 or 9 years old, I was in a school that was rumored to be haunted, but I never knew about it at the time. In the spring of 1989, my classmate and I went to the big girls' toilets during break. My classmate waited for me in the changing room while I went into the toilet. I heard her run out, so I opened the door while I was sitting on the toilet, and I kid you not, I saw a woman in blue. She was walking and appeared to be reading a large brown book. Her dress touched the floor, and she wore a hood up and had red lipstick. I must have watched her walk for a minute or two before pulling my knickers to my knees and running out into the gym room to the playground. I was so scared that I didn't care if anyone ran my knickers down to my knees. Saw my knickers down to my knees, maybe?
Oh, could
be, yeah.
That's
what I'm going to guess that. My classmate said to me, "Did you see that?" And she explained what she saw, which was the same thing that I saw. The next week, we had a brief history lesson on the school, and we were told the school was built in 1932, and the first headmaster was a woman named Elizabeth. I have always wondered if it was her. Over the years, I've had many things happen to me. When I lost two of my cats, I heard scratches and meows and then felt them jumping on my bed. When I was in a hospital in a room with a few other patients, everyone was in bed, and I saw a 4-foot figure by the doorknob. It had a green face with orange eyes. I shouted out to my friend that I had just seen something, but no one cared and told me to go to sleep. I couldn't.
Well, now, with that said, there might be a lot of people that are, you know, sedated or on drugs, and they're like, of course you're seeing something by the door, yeah, with green eyes, you know.
So I could see that. Like,
so
no,
they
no,
might
no.
not have, you know, been that worried about it.
And I don't know why she was in the hospital, but, you know, she could have had surgery. It could have been any number of different issues. But I could see if somebody was sitting with her, it's like, it's okay, it's okay. You would just try to calm him down.
Right. You think they're just, you know, drugs. That's what you think.
Yeah. And it says, I could move my feet and tuck them into my nightgown to protect them from something grabbing them. Oh, I can relate to that.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, thanks for reading my story. So the woman in the toilet, in the bathroom, mm-hmm. I'm going to guess, you know, just describing what she was wearing, if she recognized her as a contemporary teacher, you know, someone who was teaching around the school, she wouldn't have been dressed like that.
Right.
Not in a
And
dress.
She knew it was wrong. I mean, yeah. It scared her.
Now, you know. Was it the headmaster, that would be a whole different thing. I was going to say headmistress. If it was the headmaster, maybe it was. I could see it being somebody like that, who was somehow at some time, maybe attached to the school, employed by the school. It's just hard to tell, but it doesn't sound like it was somebody who was in the school at that time.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Well, and I just think that she knew it was wrong. Like, it scared her.
Uh-huh.
Like, if you just see a woman walking, it doesn't necessarily scare you, right? But something about this was wrong, and it did bother her. She shouldn't have been there. And she didn't quite explain why it seemed wrong. Like, was, you know, like, was she not in there and all of a sudden she was there? You know what I mean? Like, there was nobody in there and then she stepped out and there's this woman or something. You know what I mean? Or did she walk through the door, you know, kind of thing, or the wall?
Kind of just sound like she surprised her. Like, she didn't know she was there and then looked up and saw a woman dressed strangely.
And maybe the woman just acted like, you know, she was oblivious to her, which is weird too, that someone doesn't acknowledge you.
Especially when you're a kid.
Right. You know, teacher will be in the bathroom going, "What are you doing in here? Come on. Are you goofing around? Let's get going." You know, they're always trying to hustle you out of the bathroom.
Or, yeah, they would have acknowledged you. Hi, mm-hmm. Claire.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or hi, sorry if I scared you.
Right.
So I kind of think she saw a ghost. Who it was, no idea. But I think she saw a ghost.
And we know schools are haunted.
Oh, God, yeah.
so many school hauntings.
So many of them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here is our next story. Let me get it all queued up because it's a caller. Here you go.
Okay.
My name is Dana. I'm from Ohio. Originally from an area called Elyria, which is a pretty big city-ish area. And I moved to an area with my family when I was in first grade in a place called Jogg County. Now, we moved into my mom's dream, a big farmhouse, a big red barn, and you know, all that stuff. And the house's size wasn't initially the size that it is currently. The previous owners had put on some additions. So the original part of the house was our front room, the office, my parents' room, which used to be the patio, and then upstairs it was the first bedroom. Now, when we moved in there, my mom, being the social butterfly she is, made friends with all our neighbors, and my sisters became friends with our neighbor's daughter. And so they were best friends. They'd always spend all the time together, and they would take the same bus together. So there was a bit of sightings from my family of a woman or a child in our house. Like, my cousin woke up to a little girl that looked like me standing next to her, but like in an old Victorian outfit. And so continuing this story, one day when my sister's best friend was sitting outside waiting for the bus to come and waiting for my sister to come outside, she swears she saw a woman in white walking in front of the window of the front upstairs room. So my sister's best friend, to this day, and this was years ago, my sister graduated in 2003. So to this day, her best friend still believes that it was a woman in a white dress with white skin. Now, here's a bit of a twist. My sister would get a shower in the morning and then roam around upstairs naked. And she is as white as a sheet of paper. So she believes it's not a ghost. Her best friend leans otherwise. So, not necessarily a full ghost story, but I still hope you enjoy it. And if you play it on the show, thank you so much. I adore your podcasts. I can't wait to hear more. We appreciate you, everybody. And be safe. Bye.
Okay, so what do you think? Was that a ghost or is that a very white naked person?
No, it's a ghost.
Okay.
No. It's a ghost. Because she talked like other people had seen either a woman or a child. There was a discussion. It appeared to me that they'd seen one or the other, that people had seen a woman and people had seen a child. And so then this was just another person who saw a woman in white. And, you know, the woman in white idea is a fairly common one.
Oh, super common,
and
yeah.
It is, we hear about that a lot, about women dressed in white. And sometimes that goes with some sort of, the legends with these individuals go that there was some sort of tragic death, either maybe by suicide or that they've been murdered. And so they wander and they are, interestingly enough, more associated with rural areas.
But I have definitely heard of like a lot of places haunted as far as hotels, houses, that there's a lady in white there.
But I do think they're associated with this kind of farmhouse idea a lot.
Yeah. Well, I just think the whole concept of them is, mm-hmm, that's just very common. the lady in white, red, or black. And so I think depending on, you know, black would have been she was in mourning.
Mm-hmm.
Red, maybe a prostitute. White, she could have been a newlywed or something. So they're, and it's interesting too, a lot of those stories do have common threads to them. Mm-hmm. So sometimes I think that's how urban myths get started, because those stories are so rampant. Not saying that yeah. one was by any means, but I get why there are so many places that have stories like that.
Yeah.
So the naked person at the end there, was that just thrown in to be like, maybe that was who it was everyone was seeing with translucent skin? I thought that was kind of funny. I'm like, is that a red herring at the end of that story or what?
Yeah. More information on the translucent skin person.
Because I was like, is it a ghost or is it a naked person? I don't know. I don't understand.
And do they still live there, the parents? I wonder. Is there still things that happen there?
I don't know.
I always want people to finish that for me, you know, like bring us up to now, like, okay, these things happen through time and then, you know, other things have continued to happen in the house too, or we moved after that, so we don't know any more about the house, or, you know, kind of let us
like
know.
A beginning, middle, and end to the story instead of just dangling. Yeah. Like, what happened to you
or,
guys? Are you safe?
Know, we saw the woman in the window and then nothing happened again after that. And that's been 27 years ago or whatever, you know.
It's like, good, then I think you're okay right now.
Yeah. But, you know, like we said, there's no reason why a spirit couldn't move on at some point for whatever reason, you know. So there could be an ending. It doesn't have to be there forever either. But I'm just always curious when you have some things that seem to be pretty intense, like, you know, a little girl standing there dressed in white and then a woman up in the window that's dressed. Like, okay, so was that the end? You know, or were there more?
I'm going to guess there was more.
I'm guessing it didn't just quit there.
Well, we've got one more quick story, and it says, sure. There is a lot to this story, and to keep it short, I will only share two or three of the many events that happened to me in an apartment in San Diego in 2005. So that might be an answer to what we were just talking about. To keep it short, like respectful of time, I'm just going to tell you a little bit.
Yeah.
We hear that a lot. First, a short backstory. In 2004, I moved into that apartment with a girlfriend. I was in the Navy and was leaving to go overseas for 8 months. During that time, we broke up and she moved out. When I returned, I had a friend who needed a place to stay for 2 months, so he crashed on my couch to help with the rent. He wasn't working at the time, and I was. I didn't have cable, and to pass the time, he would buy TV series on DVDs. My DVD player had no buttons, and we needed the remote to do anything other than turn it on and off. One Saturday, he told me he wanted to start a new series and asked if I wanted to watch it. I said yes and told him to let me know when it was ready to go. About 45 minutes had passed and I went to see what was going on, and the entire apartment was a wreck. He said he couldn't find the remote. We spent the next 2 hours searching everywhere possible, including our cars, pockets, appliances, etc. We agreed that the remote was not in the apartment and that I needed to buy a new DVD player. We spent the next few minutes putting the apartment back together and sitting side by side on the couch. And I said, this is dumb, but I don't think we looked in the freezer. Because you're sitting there going over everything in your brain. It's like, we looked here, we looked here. And if you start at this room and you work your way through, we've been every place but the freezer, which kind of makes some sense, because I think, I don't know that I've ever had my remote in the freezer, but I've put some weird shit in my cabinets and refrigerator before.
Oh, I totally have. Like, to me, okay, this totally makes sense. I'm going to go get a drink. I have the remote in my hand. I open up the remote of the freezer. I set the remote in the freezer. I put ice in my drink and I close the freezer.
Exactly.
Door.
And I think that was what passed through his head. So it says, I got up to look in the freezer, but it was not there. I grabbed my keys and wallet and returned to him to find the remote on the couch beside him, exactly where I had been sitting. I picked it up and said, "Well, where did you find it?" And I knew from the dumbfounded stare he gave me that he had not found it. That was 13 years ago, and every once in a while, he messages me around 2 a.m. to ask if I found the remote that day. And of course, I didn't either. One of the other major weird things that happened during his 2-month stay was that electronic chargers disappeared. His MP3 player charger, phone charger, and electric razor charger. They all disappeared. And on the day that he moved out, I came home from work to find all 3 of those in a corner of the room. I called him and asked if he found them when he was packing, and he said that the room was empty when he left. I know this to be true, rather than him messing with me, because he paid me back to mail his MP3 charger. I like this next part. Some honorable mentions. When my girlfriend was living there alone during one of our long-distance phone fights, she accused me of having someone with a spare key go into the apartment and steal her stuff to mess with her. I remember specifically that she had said a loaf of bread went missing.
I don't know why that makes me laugh so hard.
But it's like you're having a fight and it's like, and you sent somebody in with a key to steal my loaf of bread. And this guy's in the Navy serving his country. Like, he's got better things to do.
Okay, Bill, we're really going to mess with her this time. We're going to get the bread.
See what you can find. And then Bill leaves. He's like, I
never,
ever
expect somebody to come in for her loaf of bread.
The next honorable mention, I was supposed to move from that apartment to Phoenix, Arizona on January 15th, 2006. I was still in the Navy at that time, and once a month, I was required to work a 24-hour shift. I came home from work one day towards the end of December at 8 a.m. after being gone for a full day, exhausted, and I remembered at the time that for some reason I couldn't sleep in my bedroom, so I was sleeping on the couch. I laid down to go to sleep, woke up at 10 a.m. to see an old man standing about 4 feet in front of me. He was facing away from me. I stared at him for a few moments. He turned around and looked at me, then took a few steps and disappeared. I got up, packed a bag, went to Phoenix that day to find a place. I only returned a few weeks later to meet the movers and officially move. That's from Jonathan. I think that's so relatable, except for the man standing there part. I don't want to relate
that's
to
creepy.
That because that's so creepy. But I think that's happened to everyone where you had something and it's just gone.
Yeah, but then you come back after, like, you've torn it apart, you know, looking and looking and looking, and it's sitting, like, in the middle of your bed or right on the sofa or right on the coffee table or right where you, you know, you actually turned that over and, you know, knocked everything off it looking for it. You've done absolutely, and then you come back and there it is right there.
Well, today that happened to me because kind of, but you know that cute Wrigley Field shirt I bought last summer when we were in Chicago to go see the Cubs?
I'm wearing one today.
Yeah. So I have been looking for that shirt for weeks because now it's getting nicer out and it's just kind of that nice in between shirt. It's got 3/4 length sleeve on it.
Oh, yeah, that
was
a really
perfect.
Good one.
It's a super cute shirt, right? And it's a good one to go to the gym in. And I have not been able to find it for weeks and weeks. And so every time I look for it, I'm like, well, it's going to pop up eventually. And today, sure enough, I'm getting something out of one of my drawers and it was right there. And I've been looking for it. And because I was to the point, I'm like, I don't want to lose that shirt because I really liked it. And if you go back and get another one, if they have one, those shirts are all way too expensive. $45. And I don't remember what I paid for it, but probably something around that. So today I found it. But I think that's so weird when things like that happen.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. The thing with the old man, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it makes me think, obviously, there was something in that apartment that like to mess with them. And so like, I'll show her, I'm taking that loaf of bread. And then to take the remote, and then the loaf of bread
one was fine.
Because they've been
fighting.
We
need to do more honorable mentions.
When you write in, if you have an honorable mention story, just please make note.
Or we give somebody an honorable mention for that one, you know. But I, too, have a San Diego, more of a nightmare story. Do you want to hear it?
Well, yeah, because that's just what we're talking about when people say stuff. We're talking about
San Diego. Okay, here's my San Diego nightmare story. The Cubs were up 8-0 yesterday and lost 9-8. Go figure.
Well, on that note, if you have a real ghost story or a very creepy ending to a baseball game, write it in, realghoststoriesonline.com, or call it in at 855-853-4802. If you'd like to become a premium subscriber, no commercials, advance episodes, and access to the archive that can be yours, sign up through Apple Podcasts, sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or at ghostpodcast.com. And for all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thanks for listening.